Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is the epistle read before from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence of superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, dear Christian friends, the first two required courses in homiletics at the seminary do not have very creative titles. We call those courses Homiletics 1 and Homiletics 2. The options, however, which we have in the fourth year have more striking titles. The options there have titles like Creative Homiletics, Structure, Sermon Structures, Problems in Preaching, Law-Gospel Polarity. The Apostle Paul this morning is treating in our text the subject of homiletics. We do not have a fancy title to give to his treatment of homiletics, and so we shall just give it the simple title, A Word from Paul on Preaching. And that word from Paul on preaching permits us to address two topics. First, the message of preaching, and secondly, the style of preaching. The source of the material for Christian preaching is not the wisdom of this world, the Apostle Paul points out. I did not come with eloquence of superior wisdom. The Apostle Paul did not draw upon the wisdom of this world for his preaching. He rather says, I proclaim to you the testimony about God. The testimony about God, that is the substance of our Christian preaching. The testimony about God, which tells us about his demands for us as creatures. The testimony about God, which also tells us about his love for us as creatures who have failed to perfectly keep his law. And the testimony of God then tells us about that love which he has given for us in Christ Jesus. Some comment about that is made when Paul says in the text, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the central focus of Paul's message to the Corinthians. And that was a message that was the testimony of God, a testimony from him, and a testimony about him. In Jesus Christ, there was the crucified Christ atonement. In Jesus Christ, there was forgiveness of sin. In Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, we were made right with God. Yes, it was in Jesus Christ that we became the children of God through faith. That was the center of Paul's preaching. We have forgiveness of sins in that Christ who was the atonement for our sins. For God was in Christ, as Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. We are the beneficiaries of the work of Jesus Christ. We have been freed from the curse of sin, from eternal death, and have been given instead eternal life in place of hell. And that is not the wisdom of the world. That is the testimony of God. The Apostle Paul, however, did not preach only about a crucified Christ. He also spoke about a Christ who rose from the dead. And he did that so very eloquently in the 15th chapter of this very letter from which our text is taken. The Apostle Paul did not speak just about a dead Christ, for in a dead person there can be no hope. And in a dead person, no one would want to put his faith. But there is also a risen Christ. The crucified one rose on the third day. So that the Apostle Paul could say that so eloquently in the 15th chapter. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so we as Christians can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the wisdom of the world. That's not the message of the world. That's the testimony of God. So much then for the message of Christian preaching on the basis of Paul's word to us on that subject. And now we direct our attention, secondly, to the style of preaching. For we can say some things about that, too, on the basis of what Paul presents in the text. When Paul said in the text, "I did not come with excellency of word or wisdom," is he possibly suggesting to us that we ought to conclude that we do not need professors of homiletics at the seminary? I would suspect that the professors of homiletics at the seminary do talk about structure, perhaps about eloquence, perhaps also about outlines and logical thought progression. Is Paul suggesting that we do not need people like that at the seminary and that we ought to reassign them to something else at the seminary? I doubt it, because Paul's own example in his writings will show a great deal of good organization. Paul, however, did analyze his audience whenever he had to preach to a given group of people. When he was in Antioch and Pisidia, for example, he was preaching to a Jewish audience, and he made contact with that audience by rehearsing extensively Jewish history. When he was in Lystra, he was dealing with a Gentile audience and with pagans. And so he began with a natural knowledge of God and pointed to that God who sends rain and gives food. Yes, Paul knew something about communication theory and employed it. And I would suggest that he's doing that very same thing in our text when he says that he did not come with excellency of word or wisdom. The only thing is that he's turning it upside down. Instead of starting where the Corinthians would have expected him to start, with flattery oratory, instead of starting at that particular point, he analyzes the situation and said that he was not going to do what the philosophical set in Corinth did. He was going to do just the opposite. For he points out that he did not want the people at Corinth to come to faith because of wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And so it is that the Apostle Paul, as he analyzed the situation in Corinth, decided to set aside rhetorical skills and preach the message very simply, without excellency of word or wisdom. Could Paul have engaged in another kind of preaching? I do not know how dynamic of a preacher he was, but I know when it comes to the area of dialectic, he can match the best. And if you don't believe it, read his epistles. And if you want to hear him as a master, well-versed in the area of argumentation, then take another look again at that 15th chapter, which speaks about the resurrection from the dead. How well Paul argued that particular case. Yes, he was a master of argumentation, but he chose when he was in Corinth to set aside that which would attract attention to itself, a kind of oratory which would focus upon human technique and wisdom. Paul did not want the Corinthians to look at the wrong thing when he was preaching to them. And so Paul was indeed concerned about style, a good style in preaching. He was not ready to put it aside. And in our text, when he says, "I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom," he is not expressing disapproval of a good preaching style. But he points out as well that the central thing is the message which we proclaim. For it is only that message which can turn hearts to God. That message about Jesus Christ, the Savior and Redeemer. That message which alone is the power of God unto salvation. That is the central thing in preaching. And I'm sure that professors of homiletics at Concordia Seminary teach that as well. Yes, teach that as the main point. We have the Word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. Let us understand it, and let us proclaim it. Amen.